1420 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The White House denies President Biden has Parkinson's and any other cognitive issues following his debate performance.
Every year around the president's physical examination, he sees a neurologist. That's three times, right? So I am telling you that he has seen a neurologist three times while he has been in this presidency.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, Biden also notified congressional Democrats today he is not dropping out. Republicans will vote on a new party platform next week at its convention. CBS's Jake Rosen.
Makes clear in classic Trump fashion that he wants to defend the Constitution, Bill of Rights, freedom of religion, and the right to keep and bear arms.
Barrels caused extensive damage and killed three people now in Texas. CBS's Janet Shamlians near Houston.
While we're through the worst of it, the ground here is already so saturated and we are still getting rain. So we know that the danger still exists.
The storm made landfall today as a hurricane. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It's another big day for cleanup in Manawa, where things are starting to get back to normal. Floodwaters burst through a levee on the Little Wolf River during heavy rains Friday morning. People had to be evacuated from their homes. The levee itself didn't fail, but much of the ground around it washed away. U.S. Senate Democrats have canceled their meeting about their support for President Biden today. Wisconsin's Tammy Baldwin has been mum on the topic.
I'm listening carefully to what my constituents and voters have to say in Wisconsin, and certainly sharing those comments with the president's advisors.
Some big Democratic donors want Biden to step aside. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following our upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, July 9th, the Wood County Operations Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in room 114. The Wisconsin Rapids Human Resources Committee will meet at 4 at City Hall. The City of Nakusa will hold their Ways and Means meeting at 6:30, followed by their Common Council meeting at 7. The Village of Port Edwards will have their regular monthly meeting at 7. The Town of Rome will have their Plan Commission meeting at 4. In Portage County, the Stevens Point Police and Fire Commission will meet at 2. The Space and Properties Committee meeting, scheduled for 3:30, has been canceled, and the Healthcare Center Committee will meet at 5 p.m. The Village of Whiting will hold their regular board meeting at 6. In Adams County, the Public Works meeting will take place at 10 a.m., and the Coordinated Services Advisory Committee will meet from 4 to 5:30. The Solid Waste Committee meeting, scheduled for 4, has been canceled. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers get the win in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 9-2 victory Sunday over the Los Angeles Dodgers. Top of the fourth, no score. And Christian Yelich at the plate on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Fly ball deep center. Back Pache, still back and gone. Back-to-back days with homers for Christian Yelich, and the Brewers strike first in L.A.
Now, with the win, the Brewers able to avoid being swept by the Dodgers. Brewers manager Pat Murphy on what made the difference.
You know, story of the game, obviously Yelich, has been dominant this series in terms of his at-bats. It's been unbelievable. And guys like Vinny Capra, Eric Haas, these guys are in the major leagues for the first time this week. And Capra's got about 12 at-bats total in his career. And for him to play defense the way he did and play in this environment, I was just proud as hell of him. And great effort. A lot of guys, great effort.
The crew is now back home. They have the day off before they host the Pirates tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A mix of sunshine, showers, and thunderstorms that'll be widely scattered throughout the day today. It could bring some heavy rainfall alongside more flooding risks. Otherwise, highs today tap the upper 70s and climb to the low 80s by tomorrow, with chances of patchy fog overnight. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
Uline is here for the hard workers. For the ones rolling up their sleeves, working round the clock, and getting the job done. You're dedicated to doing what it takes to keep a business growing.
Uline is dedicated to helping you make that happen. Working 7 days a week, staying fully stocked and ready to ship any of our 41,000 items the same day. Uline, your shipping and industrial supply specialists. Visit uline.com.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, there are people whose goal is to hike the entire Ice Age Trail. We're going to learn all about that. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, yes it is. Tim and Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Long weekend back, Johnny Lupinacci. How are you, my friend? Celebrating the 4th. First of all, put up your hands. I want to see if all your fingers are... Okay, nice.
Oh, yeah. I don't do fireworks, Tim. I mean, I enjoy watching them a couple of nights. Went to a ball game on Friday night. Saw some fireworks after that. You know, of course, we had barbecue and hang out with friends and family. And there were fireworks on the 4th. And, you know, we talked all week last week about being a patriot.
Yes.
And, you know, about, you know, supporting democracy and, you know, lessons that Timothy Snyder gave us in terms of 20 things we can learn from the 21st century about, you know, avoiding tyranny.
Tyranny, man. Tyranny. Come on. We're trying to get you right on that one.
So it was a great weekend. You know, here we are coming off of that. And it's Monday. It's great to be with you. You know, so let's go.
Yeah. Well, it's good. You know, I mean, first of all, though, too, Johnny, it's always great because Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end that crazy, painful, hurtful voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And over the weekend, Johnny, you know, reminiscing, I started going through, I don't know, do you ever get hooked into like a YouTube kind of like tunnel where you're like, I got to see the next video. Okay. You're looking at me like, no, it's never happened.
I know what you're talking about. I avoid it because I don't like to get pulled into it, but I'll tell you, Tim, I do this with students. We do the, how many YouTube videos until the algorithm has us believing that there could be a flat earth. Right. Okay. So just to build kind of understanding around how misinformation and disinformation exists, and to understand that sometimes like the parents or the families of the children that are coming to our classrooms have been informed by misinformation, and really how easy it is to sort of to build empathy around, hey, before you judge and you say, hey, that idiot that believes this, understand that the world we're in right now, we're only a few clicks away from a whole pathway, a whole algorithm that feeds you a lot of videos. So okay. I try to avoid it in my life, but I do know it exists.
Okay, but I didn't go down that hole. I just like, I get in there and something plays off the other. And I was in there looking at Save Our Schools because we had interviewed Beth Lewis from Save Our Schools Arizona.
Yep.
And up pops a remember when, and oh, well, you know what though? Jess, can you hit play on that real quick just so Johnny can hear what I was listening to?
My mom was a professor of early childhood education, and from the time I was in kindergarten, as she said, all the way through my high school graduation, I attended public schools. And I would not trade that education, that experience, for anything.
Did you get who that was there, Johnny Lupinacci?
I think I know, Tim. I think I know, and I love it. I love it. So tell me more about this, Tim.
That was Matt Damon, Save Our Schools 2011 rally. And, you know, it popped up in my head. I wonder, you know, if we had Matt Damon's mom, I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say to Matt now, 12 years later. Wait, there she is. Matt Damon's mom, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. How are you?
I'm good. It's great to be here. And it's, oh, it's, boy, is it reminiscent to listen to that talk and think about that amazing march in 2011.
It was incredible. It just made me remember how unified we were around that. And I mean, Matt, he just delivered 6 minutes of just pure inspiration. But, you know, it is now. It's over 10 years later. And we've said it, Nancy. I mean, where are we at this point? And if you were going to say something to Matt, you know, now, if he was going to do this speech again, would you give him new advice? What would you say to Matt?
Well, one thing I just want to say is I have a lot of appreciation hearing that. I actually listened to that talk again. And, you know, it is all about public education, the value of public education. He says, I would not be the person I am today if I had not had that education that fostered my creativity, my critical thinking. And it's made me who I am, and it's a lot of why I have success in the work that I do. And he believes that through. Somebody at the march said to me, did you write that for him or did he write it? And I'm like, are you kidding? He called me up. I was sitting on a bench there at American University. He read me the whole speech. I got tears in my eyes. I'm like, I'm so happy. This is what you feel, you know? But, you know, things have changed. They've changed so much since then, and they haven't.
Okay.
At the deeper level, the conservative education movement, which has had an increasing stranglehold on many aspects of education, has gained even a stronger foothold. That's the reality. I mean, if you look at the vouchers that have increased in many states, the charter schools increasing enrollments, the defunding of public education, and, you know, the lining up with the culture wars, I think, has really fueled them, too, because a lot of these voucher programs are starting because the conservative parents don't want their kids to hear about racial justice, LGBTQ issues and so forth. So, you know, we're dealing with a more difficult situation than before, because in the beginning, when we had that SOS movement, we were unified. Actually, tens of thousands of people were there, mostly teachers, but parents and students also, who were feeling very strongly against standardized testing as the driver of education,
right?
And against and pro public schools. That was sort of what was tying everybody together then,
right?
And so now these things have become somewhat sadly normalized.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Standardized tests have become, in many people's minds, the way to assess the value of quality of education anywhere. So, you know, maybe someday we'll talk about that more, because Matt says in that talk that all the things he feels he learned that characterize his being could not be tested.
Exactly.
And that, yeah.
What I just thought about that, too, because, I mean, that's what brought me to that fight, too, was, I mean, you know, this is how you and I, Nancy, we met. I mean, I had opted my son out of fifth grade right then, got invited to that tour, met you behind the scenes there after Matt's speech. And, you know, here we are all these years later. And you say, I listen to that and I get excited. And I was like, boy, we were only taking on standardized testing right then. Yeah. And now as you kind of lay it out, it's like, OK, I'm not sure we won on that. Maybe not. But because you said it's become normalized, I think it's fallen out of view because the attacks now are so much more incredibly awful.
Yeah, they're awful, and they satisfy a certain element of conservatism that, you know, is as you know, the anti-CRT people and the anti all of the culture issues that upset them and that they want to parents to have control over. So it's a very difficult situation. I still think the message is that we have to organize, that You know, there we were organizing on a national level, and it was really thrilling to come together with that huge number of people. But as we slog on now, state by state, because now there are different legislative mandates in different states. So you have one, you have Louisiana with the Ten Commandments on the wall, and you got Arizona and a lot of other states with ramped up voucher programs. Mm-hmm. And you've got online learning that we weren't seeing as much then, how many kids are just at home looking at a screen and getting an education.
It's, right.
It's a very different climate. So how do we approach it as organizers?
I was thinking this, and Johnny, I'll let you jump in too, but well, what we've been saying now is to really recognize, and I like the way you pointed that out, and I'm sure Johnny did, this kind of state by state, but reminding people, though, the stakes, at the time we were saying high stakes testing, the stakes now are your local democracy.
Yeah, and, absolutely. And if,
okay, so that to me is that the organizing message to fight for democracy in Louisiana might be a little bit different than fighting for democracy in Oklahoma. It might be a little bit different in Wisconsin, but that public schools and democracy is what's at stake.
And I think it's good if we hold those two ideas in mind, that there's a unifying set of principles around democratic schools that we're fighting for. But the impediments to that are manifesting in a lot of different ways. Even science of reading that I talked with you about last month is another example, or curriculum control and punishing teachers for talking about racial justice or racial history or gender issues, you know. So we're seeing it pop up with a lot of different faces that can confuse people and make them think these are isolated issues, and they're not. They're all connected to one big issue of control and dismantling of public education.
Johnny.
Well, yeah, Tim. I mean, I agree with this wholeheartedly, right? Public education is a bedrock of a strong democracy. It's where we learn to be democratic citizens. It's where we learn to put democracy to action. So I couldn't agree more. And what a polarized moment we are in, not only with the cultural wars, with landing too on, do we really value the importance of public education? And I think the three of us agree, and we're not alone in this. If we value democracy, then we value how we learn to be democratic citizens, and we need to invest and really, you know, really support public education. And that's key. You can't have one without the other.
I'm 100% with you. We have to support it, and we also have to support the kind of education that we know is going to cultivate thinking, participatory citizenry. And it's not going to be the controlled one that keeps people from knowing our genuine, truthful Howard Zinn people's history.
Right.
And it's not going to be the one that controls teachers and doesn't let them teach with all the creativity and inspiration that they bring to the job. And the forces are trying to do that. They're trying to water down the system to an extent that there isn't any more individual, free, independent, and strong free thinking.
Wow. Matt Damon's mom, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Holy crap. So now you got it. We're going to put that down. You can send that to Matt, because the question was, what would Nancy say to Matt Damon now, all these years later? Dr. Nancy Carlson Page.
I'll send it to
awesome. Him. We love busting pencils with you all the time. Thank you so much.
One more. Do I have a minute to say something? Because I want to say
You have 10 seconds.
I love busting pencils because you are helping the people who are working state by state to know what other people are doing and to organize at a bigger level, or at least understand that they're all connected.
Thank you.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. So for Matt Nair on air.
Matt Nair on air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Alba Show.
Oh, yeah. Busted Pencils, fully led education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number is 855-752-4842. Yeah, you can give us a call. Jump in there. Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom, first segment. Always love Busting Pencils with her, Johnny. But we've got a great guest tonight, and I love the way that the guest here shows up on the show. Dr. Mike Moore, I'm just going to introduce him right away and be like, Mike, so the story of how Dr. Mike Moore comes onto the show. So you had listened to the interview we did with Jonathan Gurko about publicization.
Correct.
That then got me to get to the AQ, the National Teaching and College Conference. And I'm standing there in the between sessions looking at stuff. And I look at you and you look at me and we make these eyes and you come over and go, hey, do you mind if I sit here? And or we actually we're standing there and eat dinner together. And then you went, wait. And I said, yeah, that's who I how do you remember this happening, Mike?
That's exactly right. I was doing some homework for my podcast with Jonathan. And I listened to your podcast, and then I saw that you were going to be at NHETC. And I said, this is the one guy that I have to find. And then how am I going to find this guy? There's 500 people here. And I was looking for a place to stand to eat. And then there was this guy just standing there. This is it. And I was like, you know, what is his name? And I look your name tag. I can't believe it. The one guy that I've been trying to find in this whole place is standing right here. That it was just a miraculous story. We were destined to meet.
Yeah, we were. So, Mike, I appreciate that story. So, Johnny, look at that, man. We get out there.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love it.
And say that's one of the great things about the connections we make when we go to conferences like that. You know, you say people are listening, and I just got to be, you know, I was absolutely flattered because Mike dropped some serious praise on Busted Pencils, and I was just like, whoa, dude. All right. You're coming on the show, man, because but okay, so Mike, you though kind of come at this, Dr. Mike Moore, and we want to put this forward. Just I want to set this up a little bit because we were talking about this. You know, how you and I got to the show is, but I'm gonna say, remember when people, listener, you're out there, remember when you went to college and you got your course schedule and you went, oh, I'm taking Lupinacci's social education course and I have to buy these 5 books or these 3 books, and you go to the bookstore and get them or you don't get them. A lot of people have that memory of getting, that's how they got their books, with some kind of thing like that. Mike, you brought to my attention of this whole idea of potentially accessing course materials and how important actually getting the access to course materials is today, particularly, not that it wasn't important back in the day, but that really when we're looking at the success of college students, their access to materials can be the difference between whether they're going to be successful in college or not. And the whole accessing course materials is in and of itself a little bit of a contested space. Is that a way to say it? Or is there an advocacy? I mean, tell me about Mike Moore's vision of how students would get their college materials.
Sure. That's a great lead in. Thank you. And we think about course materials, we're like, it's just a textbook. Like, what is it? What does it matter? And through my work in the course material space and my research on course materials, we've started to understand that a textbook is not just a textbook. It is literally the key to success in higher education. It is how we get in the door to a class. It's the thing that can prevent us from getting into a class because we can't afford the material. So textbooks are essential to a student's success in higher education. And the cost of course materials over the last, 50 years has been out of control. And we've seen it just rise. You know, there's nothing faster, growing faster in cost than textbooks other than, I think, healthcare, right? So there's been the introductions of a couple of models in the last, decade or so, where there are affordable access programs. They're programs that are aimed to reduce the cost of and increase access to course materials. So in these models, students simply register for their course and their course materials are provided to them on or before the first day of class. So there's no figuring out what I need. I don't have to go to the bookstore. I don't have to search the internet. I don't have to figure out where they're located if they're in the bookstore or the internet, or if I have the money to buy them because it's automatically charged to my bursar account. So it allows us to begin day one with materials. And my research and the research of a couple others are showing us that simply having access to materials can impact whether or not we will be successful in the classroom.
So Johnny Lupinacci, successful access class materials. I'm going to say you're a little bit more close to this because I haven't really had to put this forward because I've been in the administrative ranks for quite a few years, the last few years. And so my course materials, what do you want to say? My understanding of it has been a bit stymied.
Well, yeah, Tim, I mean, I think it's huge when we, when we get feedback from our students pretty consistently on what works and what doesn't work for them as learners, it's always a good thing. And I can safely say, over my two decades or so of teaching college students that consistently, and it's gotten a little better as like resources.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Are you a veteran who needs assistance? Do you know a veteran who needs help? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. We can help connect veterans with services such as medical care, financial and legal assistance, housing, mental health services, substance use treatment, and more. For more information, please visit wisvets.com. That's wisvets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the ninth inning. Bases loaded and up to bat. Can you hear that crowd? Hear we? What just happened? Everything is dark. The lights are back on. Look at that.
Yes, the team invested in Generac generators from Econ Electric, so no one will miss a moment. Econ Electric is your neighborhood big league pro in Generac generators. Call Econ Electric at 715-423-8440 today.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Raptors Baseball on WFHR.
Wisconsin Rapids Raptors Baseball is back on the air on WFHR. It's the first Monday home game in this 2024 Northwoods League season. Historic Witter Field, the site of tonight's matchup to round out a home-and-home set with the Wausau Woodchucks. Andy Ockham joining you back here on Raptors Radio, whether you're tuning in tonight on your FM AM dials at 97.5, 1320, or on your Civic Media apps. Thank you so much for spending your Monday nights here with us. Military Appreciation Night here in Wisconsin Rapids. The Raptors wearing their USA-themed jerseys that we saw them debut on the 4th of July against Madison. They'll wear them one more time this season in our second and final Monday home game in August. Last night, or yesterday, I should say, in the afternoon, not the Raptors' day, a 20-3 Wausau victory. The Woodchucks put up six in the first and never really looked back. They then plated two runs the rest of the way. The Raptors picking up 1 in the 5th and 2 in the 6th. It was Grayson Schaefer's third home run of the season. A no-doubt solo shot to left field to get the scoring underway for the Raptors in that top of the 5th inning. By that point, though, it was 12-1, and the game was far out of reach. 3 runs on 7 hits, an error, and 4 left on for Wisconsin Rapids. 20 runs on 15 hits, no errors, and 9 left on for the Woodchucks. Most runs the Raptors have given up this season. And against Wausau as well, that was the first of 8 total times we will see the Woodchucks, not only in the second half, but here in the month of July. Wausau returns here to Wisconsin Rapids. It's the second time the Woodchucks are playing here at Witter Field on the summer, the last time being the first matchup between these two teams on the entire campaign, Friday, May 31st, a game in which they took here from the Raptors in the finale of a 4-game homestand. That was then the start of the home-and-home series, June 1st, at Athletic Park, the 17-10 win for the Woodchucks, the football score that we saw just about 55 minutes north here of Rapids. It was Matthew Hurd to get the start yesterday for the Raptors. His first start with the club, the North Georgia product, working out of the bullpen for the first half of the season. Only threw 9 pitches, though. Faced the 2 hitters, left the game due to injury. And from there, it was pieced together by Jacob Smoot, making his Raptor debut. And you saw Juan Berrios and Nick Perry each throw 3 innings, while Jack Weisinger collected the 3 outs in the 8th. Edwin Alicia going 5-plus, the southpaw, not walking a Raptor and striking out 8 in the opener of this home-and-home. David Morrissey, another left-handed arm out of the Woodchuck bullpen, efficient in his 3 innings of work following Alicia on 30 pitches. Dan Lee, the right-hander from the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, collected the final 3 outs in the 17-run Woodchuck win yesterday. Lineup being announced right now for your Raptors. We'll get to the probable pitching matchups and each team's starting lineup when we return after the national anthem. Colors being presented tonight, so it's going to be an extended break. Prior to first pitch, right here at historic Witter Field on your home for Raptor baseball, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything, helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people, a neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Since the moment you were born, I've made 1,000 wishes. Wishes for your future. In a world that's changing fast. For all of the things you may one day do. Do play and laugh. Do win and lose. Do learn from your mistakes. And challenge yourself to grow. Do not be afraid. Or make decisions based in fear. Do it all with confidence and with kindness and strength. Do call your mom and ask her for advice. And always do your best to remember that no matter what you do in this life,
thank you.
What matters to me is that you keep doing. I love you always, Mom. Inspire kids to do at 4-H.org.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
A remote Brazilian tribe deep in the Amazon rainforest was recently able to access the internet for the first time ever. Tribe leaders say that they almost immediately had to institute time limits or nothing would get done.
You know, we don't hunt fish and plant crops. Mm-hmm. We're going to die because we don't have any food. And guess what, everyone? Amazon does not deliver to the Amazon. So, which is kind of an oversight on their part.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on locally grown radio.
Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original Badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like Badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking Badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather-related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. 8 kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state, and it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away. Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade, and if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter. And check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Ready to rock and roll here at Winter Field. Game 39 of this 70-game slate for your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters this season. And it's the first Monday home contest from historic Winter Field. Andy Ockham returning to you as your voice of the Raptors right here on WFHR. Bryson Moore, the right-hander from Fairfax, Virginia, and the University of Virginia, making his first start here in Wisconsin Rapids and his third with the club. Let's see how the Raptors shape out defensively, though, behind the young right-hander. He's got a couple of his college teammates in the outfield. That's Walker Buchanan in left and Aiden Teal in center. Chris Arroyo, a Virginia commit. We got an outfield full of Cavaliers here tonight in Wisconsin Rapids. On the infield for the Raptors, it's Jorge Degadia at third, Kyler McIntosh at short, Owen McElfatrick at second, Grayson Schaefer, the Nichols State commit, will play first. The DH off to the side today is Jack Matthew. Cashel Duggar, the Castle Pines, Colorado native, and UCLA freshman, will do the catching for Moore in his Winterfield debut. As mentioned, this is Military Appreciation Night, one of the two Monday home games we have here in Wisconsin Rapids this season. Mondays are Military Appreciation Night here at Winter Field. So the Raptors donning their red, white, and blue USA Star-Spangled Banner-themed uniforms that we saw on the 4th of July on Thursday against the Madison Mallards. For the visiting Wausau Woodchucks, this will end the home-and-home series. Wausau going with their road grays, their navy blue sleeves on the side, navy blue numbering and lettering with some light green trim around the sides. Right-hander Moore set out of the windup. The first pitch to the right-handed hitting second baseman Vance Sheehan. We're underway as that one misses outside for ball one. 6:38 first pitch here tonight. And a wonderful presentation of the colors in the national anthem here on this Military Monday. So a few minutes late on first pitch, but that is more than okay. The next delivery fouled back by Sheehan. Always good to be back home. Raptors a lot of home action here this week. On the road tomorrow in Ashwaubenon against the Green Bay Rockers, that starts a home-and-home, and then these Woodchucks come back here on Thursday for a doubleheader, two-game set, then to follow with Lakeshore on Friday and Saturday as the 1-1 pitch misses outside from Moore, count now 2-1. Vance Sheehan in the batter's box right now, leading things off for Wausau. You got four straight lefties in the 2-5 spots. Jonas St. Antoine, the third baseman, Max Galvin, the center fielder, Colin Brigham, the first baseman, and Bryce Hubbard, the DH. 2-1 pitch in there for a called strike on a fastball from Moore. 2-2 the count now on the leadoff hitter for Wausau tonight. 6-7-8 spots then for Corey Thompson, all hitting from the right side. Luke Pemberton, Hayden Christensen, Max Solis Jr., and Jake Berkland. The 2-2 pitch home from Moore. This one fouled straight back by Sheehan. Vance making his Woodchuck and Northwoods League debut yesterday afternoon at Athletic Park, and it's about as good of a debut as you can have. Three hits, a two-run double in his first at-bat with the club and in the league in that six-run first inning. He also singled and scored in the third, collected a base hit as well in the fourth. Next 2-2, breaking ball, got him looking. Bryson Moore has been fantastic to watch on his first two road starts. Happy that the Winterfield faithful gets to see the young man throw here tonight. Moore entering today, two starts, seven innings pitched, an ERA under 2.6 at 2.57, and an under 0.9 whip at 0.86. Moore last worked the first game of the second half 5 days ago, July 3rd, at the Duck Pond in that 1-0 loss to the Mallards. Four innings of one-run ball, three hits allowed from the right-hander. First pitch to Jonas St. Antoine, showing bunt, but pulls back as this one misses low for ball one. Moore did not walk a Mallard hitter last Wednesday and struck out five of the 15 batters he faced. The 1-0 pitch home from the freshman right-hander. One fouled straight back. Count evens 1-1. His first start with the club and first appearance in the Northwoods League came back on the 29th of June at Fond du Lac. It was that game that started last Friday, played four innings and then got moved to the next day due to weather. The 1-1 pitch misses low for ball two. And that one, Moore allowed just one hit, a homer. That was a long ball given up to the Dock Spiders, a two-out solo blast in his three innings of work. He walked two and struck out three, facing 12 hitters. The 2-1 pitch to the left-handed hitting Jonas St. Antoine. Hit in the air, left center field, shading the sun, Walker Buchanan. He closes into the gap to make the grab for the second out of the inning. Two up, two down here for Bryson Moore. We'll introduce the Raptors 1-9 when we get back for the bottom of the first, and we'll talk some Adiel Melendez as well, another strong pitcher on this Woodchuck staff. A 3 ERA in 30 innings pitch for the Southpaw. We'll get more into his numbers as well. This is a good starting pitching matchup here tonight in Rapids. Moore versus Melendez. Max Galvin, the Oklahoma State Cowboy, steps into the left-handed batter's box. Moore begins with a fastball that's in there for a called strike. Same crew that we had yesterday at Athletic Park. It's Chris Castro, the crew chief, calling balls and strikes. Daniel Roberts down the first baseline and Gavin Holdgrave down the third baseline. A one delivery misses downstairs for Moore to even the count at 1-1. Moore looking to toss a 1-2-3 inning. The Raptors didn't have an inning yesterday out on the hill where they didn't allow at least two runs to Woodchuck hitting. The 1-1 pitch. This one fouled by Galvin, clearing the third base grandstands and onto the concourse, count now 1-2. Galvin yesterday also out of the three spot for Wausau as their DH. He scored three different times, drew a couple of walks, picked up a sac fly as well in the third. One ball, two strikes the count, two outs, nobody aboard, top of the first inning, the payoff pitch from Moore. That one just misses on the inside corner. A heater from the right-hander makes it 2-2. Colin Brigham on deck to follow is Bryce Hubbard. Some good power bats here in the middle of the Wausau order, a team that enters today with an overall record of 30 wins and 9 losses. Rapids 18-20 entering tonight. The 2-2. This one shot in the air, left field, Walker Buchanan turns and jogs back to get to a spot, make the grab, and retire the side. Welcome to Winterfield, Bryson Moore. It's a 1-2-3 first inning for the right-hander. The Raptors come up to hit for the first time in this contest when we return right here on your home for Raptor Baseball, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're listening to Raptors Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, American Shaman, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, S&S Distributing, Econ Electric, Greenaway RV, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Pro Seamless of Wisconsin, Swiftwater Ice Cream, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Listen into Raptors Baseball here on WFHR all summer long or check us out on the Civic Media app.
Find your perfect fit at Mid-State Technical College. You wear many hats. Family, friends, hobbies, career, maybe more. Let Mid-State make finding your career hat easier with in-demand programs and certificates, flexible class scheduling, and unmatched support for your success. Even transfer your credits to a four-year university. Mid-State is here to help you find your perfect fit and make time for it all. Learn more at mstc.edu/perfectfit.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Let's get back to the rafters here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Bryson Moore works a 1-2-3 top of the first, concluding this home-and-home here on a beautiful Monday night in Wisconsin Rapids against the Wausau Woodchucks. Andy Ockham returning to you right here on WFHR, your one-stop shop for all 70 rafter ball games right here this summer. It's the Southpaw Audio Melendez towing the slab tonight for Corey Thompson's Woodchucks. He gets Owen McElfatrick out of the right-handed batter's box to lead off this ball game. Melendez, the redshirt junior from the University of Montevallo, a native of Miami, Florida. A couple of Florida natives, Tampa hailing for Owen McElfatrick in the box. The first pitch at the bottom of the first inning misses up and away for ball one. McElfatrick will lead things off at second base. Chris Arroyo in right field will bat second. Jack Matthew, not catching tonight but serving as the team's DH, will hit third. 4-5-6, Grayson Schaefer, Walker Buchanan, Jorge Degatti. 7-8-9, Aiden Teal, Kyler McIntosh, and Cashel Duggar. 1-0 pitch from the left-hander Melendez is in there for a called strike. McElfatrick, a day ago, 0-4, back at Athletic Park, looking to collect his first hit of the home-and-home series. The 1-1 pitch. That one misses up and away. Two balls and a strike. The count now on the Northwestern Wildcat. For Melendez, as I mentioned in the top half of the inning, 30 innings pitched on the nose entering today with an exactly 3 earned run average. 1.27 whip for the left-hander. Last worked 6 2/3 innings at Madison toward the end of the first half on July 1st. The 2-1 pitch. That one on the outside corner called a strike. Count evens 2-2 on McElfatrick. 89 on the gun there from Melendez. Rafters with the left-hander on the hill tonight for the Woodchucks, bringing three left-handed hitters to the table, Arroyo, Teal, and Duggar. You got four total for the Woodchucks, all in the 2-5 spots. The 2-2 to McElfatrick, breaking ball, fouled straight back. Owen fights to see another pitch. In those 6 2/3 innings, exactly a week ago in Madison at Warner Park, three hits allowed for Melendez, one earned run, he walked two, and he struck out 10, facing two dozen Mallard hitters that night. That 2-1 win clinched the first half as well for the Woodchucks. The next 2-2 pitch out of the windup to McElfatrick. This is away. Owens worked a full count in his first plate appearance here tonight. As mentioned, this is a great week to come catch a ball game at Winter Field. We're here every day except tomorrow and then Sunday when the team leaves for Michigan. The 3-2. This is outside for ball four. Owen McElfatrick drawing a 7-pitch walk to begin the ballgame offensively for the Rafters. As mentioned, the top half of the inning, this is the 40th game for Wausau overall in the season, game 39 for the Rafters. 18 wins, 20 losses for Wisconsin Rapids, 30 wins and 9 losses for the Woodchucks. Through 5 second-half games, Wausau 4-1, the Rafters are 3-2. Wisconsin Rapids, though, 3-0 here at home in the second half. Entering today, 19 home games, 13 wins and 16 losses at home. 5 wins and 14 losses on the road. First pitch strike on the outside corner to Chris Arroyo. Once again, 13-6 here at Winter Field, 5-14 away from Rapids. Arroyo 1-for-4 with a run scored in yesterday's contest. That came in the top of inning number 6. The 0-1 pitch will have to wait. A pickoff move from the southpaw checking in on McElfatrick over at first base. Arroyo joined the club just in time for the beginning of that two-game home series starting on Friday with Green Bay. He has collected a hit in each of his first three contests with Wisconsin Rapids. 0-1 pitch. This is up top and inside. High and tight there on Arroyo to even the count at 1-1. 3 hours, 12 minutes at the time of the ball game yesterday afternoon, despite all those multi-run innings from Wausau. Raptors were held off the board in the first four innings. The 0-1. Not chasing on that one away is Arroyo. Two balls and a strike the count. Now on the Raptor, right fielder. Couple more additions to the Raptors roster here today, both on the pitching staff. J.C. Dermody, the southpaw committed to Wichita State, as well as the right-hander committed to Tennessee Tech, Houston High. 1-1, swung on and missed. I should say 2-1, swung on and missed. Either way, count remains even now at 2-2. Two balls, two strikes on the number two hitter. Here in this Raptor order, a nothing-nothing ball game if you're just joining us in the bottom of the first inning. 2-2, got him swinging. Royo down on strikes. That's the first out of the ball game in terms of offense for the Raptors here in the home half of the first. Jack Matthey, the DH for the Raptors. He's been swinging a red-hot bat to begin this second half of the season. You always look back to that Green Bay game earlier on in the previous homestand. Two home runs, seven RBIs, a grand slam, and a three-run shot in consecutive innings. First pitch to Matthew misses outside for ball one. Matthew, the catcher and cleanup hitter for the Raptors yesterday, 1-for-3, an RBI single and two strikeouts. He was lifted after collecting that RBI knock in the top of inning number six for Gabe Casso. The 1-0 pitch, driven hard in the air center field, chasing back at the track, at the wall is Galvin. That's going to hit the fence. Going first to third is Owen McElfatrick. Jack Matthey remains at first after a nice throw in from Galvin. They're on the corners with one out here in the bottom of the first inning. It'll be Grayson Schaefer, the Boise, Idaho native and Nichols State commit. Spending the previous collegiate season at BYU. First time being introduced here at Witter Field. From Nichols State, has a chance to drive in the game's first run with Owen McElfatrick 90 feet away. As mentioned, Schaefer got the scoring start for the Raptors yesterday in the top of the fifth. A no-doubt solo blast over the left field wall. Pitch to Schaefer, fastball right down the chute, taken for strike one. It'll be Buchanan on deck to Gotti to follow. The 0-1 pitch. Swing and a miss. Schaefer tardy on that fastball. Count now nothing at two. Chance here for Melendez to pick up a huge second out here in this bottom of the first inning. The 0-2. Swing and a miss. Chasing low and away. Schaefer, a three-pitch punch out of Melendez, his second in the ballgame. In his second here in the first inning, it'll be up to Walker Buchanan to keep the inning alive. Buchanan out of the lineup yesterday. First pitch to the Jupiter, Florida native in there for a called strike. I should say Buchanan did start in left field yesterday, but was taken out of the contest in the sixth inning. It was 0-for-2, with a strikeout and a ground ball into a double play. The 0-1, left-hander Melendez will have another pickoff move over to first. Buchanan, a north of 300 hitter in the first half, his average dipping below 300 after a slower start near in half number two, 297. Entering tonight, 12 runs driven in. Does have a homer that came back here at Witter Field against Battle Creek in the middle of June. 0-1 pitch. This one is lined foul down the first base side. Count now 0-2. Out on first, Matthew on third, McElfatrick. Melendez peers in, comes set. Long pause for the southpaw, the 0-2. This is way outside. First ball here to Buchanan in the home half of the first inning. Jorge Degatti on deck, Aiden Teal to follow. Raptors looking to strike first here in this Monday night game. Big leadoff first here for Matthew, awaiting the 1-2 delivery. Jack takes off for second. This one swung on and missed on a fastball. All three outs recorded here in this bottom of the first inning. Gradiel Melendez by way of the K. The Raptors leave two aboard and collect a single from Jack Matthew. We are throwing an inning of play here in Wisconsin Rapids. 0-0 the score. Due up for Wausau when Bryson Moore toes the rubber next. 4-5-6 here on your home for Raptor Baseball, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
When you need HVAC attention, call in the home run hitters at Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Raptors. They've been knocking it out of the park for more than 20 years, covering all things home comfort. Whether you need your air conditioning tuned up or replaced altogether, their Bryant experts will always do whatever it takes to keep you comfortable.
Need to set up an appointment? Schedule yours today at comfortair.biz. That's comfort, AIRE.biz.
Don't you score a new ride? Find a deal that hits out of the park with Johnson & Sons, your neighborhood Chrysler, Dodge, and Jeep dealer and service center. Serving Wisconsin Rapids and central Wisconsin area for over 84 years through four generations. See the difference that family can bring. Serving Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Clover, Weston, and Cronenwetter. Take a swing. Don't miss out on these great deals at Johnson Chrysler Jeep in Wisconsin Rapids.
Let's scream for Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, Wisconsin.
Enjoy the best ice cream for miles. From opening day to all those summer nights, you'll find the owners and staff there to serve you, and you'll recommend it to others, too.
Great family-owned business. Love seeing their smiling faces. You just know they love being there. They go above and beyond for their customers. Ice cream is great, too. So many different choices. There's something for everyone.
Swiftwater Ice Cream, where the choices and fun are endless.
Let's get back to Raptors Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Top two here at Winter Field. We got a 0-0 ball game on this Monday night between the Wausau Woodchucks and your Wisconsin Rapids Raptors. Andy Ockham returning to you on WFHR, your one-stop shop for all 70 Raptor ball games here this summer. Wausau today to wrap out the homestand. Home and home series beginning with the Green Bay Rockers tomorrow. We'll be in Ashwaubenon at Capital Credit Union Park before returning home on Wednesday for a stretch 5 games in 4 days here in Rapids. Bryson Moore on the rubber. Callan Brigham, the left-handed hitting first baseman, takes the first delivery from Moore low and inside for ball one. Moore worked a 1-2-3 top of the first, his first inning on this Winter Field mound. 1-0 pitch from the Fairfax, Virginia native. Duggar throwing down the signs. Here it comes. Missing the outside corner for ball two. Collin Brigham playing in his fifth game of the season here with the Woodchucks. Collected home run number 2 on the campaign yesterday. A 2-run blast in the bottom of inning number 6 back in Wausau. The 2-0 delivery from Moore. This is downstairs in the dirt, backhanded by Duggar. 3 balls, no strikes. The count now on the Woodchuck first baseman. Bryce Hubbard, the DH, is in the on-deck circle. Luke Pemberton, the right fielder, will follow. 3 balls, no strikes, the count on the leadoff hitter here in the top of the second inning, a 0-0 ball game here in Rapids, the 3-0. That fastball at the top of the zone is called a strike. Raptors picked up the game's first hit with one out and a runner on. The home half of the first inning, a base hit. Actually hit the center field wall off the bat of Jack Matthew. 3-1 pitch fouled back by Brigham. Count now 3-2. It's a combination of Matthew jogging out of the box, thinking that one may have had a chance to get over the wall, and it being a bang-bang hit off the fence, and Max Galvin a strong-armed throw in to prevent Matthew from advancing 90 feet. Raptors leaving 2 on, they left Matthew on along with the leadoff walk drawn on 7 pitches by Owen McElfatrick. The 3-2 pitch here from Bryson Moore. One, fouled straight back to the left of our press box here. We'll do the 3-2 again. Along with that home run off the bat. A day ago from Brigham was hit by a pitch in the first inning and later came in to score, collected another RBI in the bottom half of the third on a ground out to second base. The next 3-2 here from Moore to Brigham. This one broke and batted into 2 different pieces up the middle on the second base side. McElfatrick backhands and throws to first in time for the first out of the inning. I can't see I've ever seen a bat break that way. Barrel splitting in half, two different shards heading out to the left side of the mound. Everyone's okay. Four up, four down for Bryson Moore here so far in this ballgame. Bryce Hubbard not in the lineup yesterday for the Woodchucks. Been one of their stronger bats in the middle of the order since joining the team. His first games with Wausau came back on Thursday, the 20th of June. That being the doubleheader that the Rafters went out to take part in. A 12:05 and 6:35 first pitch from Athletic Park, and the Rafters splitting that doubleheader. The Woodstock, Georgia native and Northwest Florida State College product playing in his 12th game of the season here tonight. First pitch from Moore, 2-1, misses for ball one. Moore, scorching hot bat to begin his tenure in the Northwoods League this summer. A 400 hitter on the nose, 12 hits in 30 at-bats. Four of those 12 hits